following program was previously recorded and is sponsored by Danny Yamashiro Ministries. This is 99.5 The Word.
Aloha and welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here. Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to engage society through the lens of Christianity, offering perspectives of hope through Jesus Christ. What is the state of the Christian church in Ukraine during the war? Since the start of the Russian invasion of Ukraine on February 24th, 2022, we haven't heard much on mainstream media about the condition of the church. Today, we hear from pastors and gain a glimpse of the perspective on the conflict. Not theoretically, but on the ground. That is, how they are processing the destruction with an attitude of survival and hope. We will also listen to Christians who are mobilized to help those who are serving in Ukraine from other countries. And while given the opportunity to leave, have chosen to stay. This kind of commitment is a glimpse of the kind of commitment that our Lord Jesus Christ has for us, the kind of redemptive commitment, the kind of sacrificial commitment, even so as Jesus did not abandon us. Instead, he died on the cross for our sins. Shunning the thought of abandoning us in our sins, he dies in our place for our sins. That's what he did for you and for me, shedding his blood on that cross to wash our sins away. He was buried, yes, and 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. So even as we speak about our times, the tumult, the disasters, the wars, the turmoil of our times, we serve a Savior who himself sacrificed his life so that we might live eternally, yes, but that eternal life gives us an eternal perspective toward hope in our lives today. Whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, there is always hope through Jesus Christ. So how unique is the position of Ukraine for the spread of the gospel throughout Europe? Are there reasons beyond political and economic relations that we ought to consider spiritually in trying to understand what is happening in Ukraine? How do the experiences of Ukrainians under attack and the courage being displayed, both at a convicting point, be also an encouraging moment for us as Christians around the world? How are Russian and Ukrainian Christians responding? Welcome to our show. Danny Yamashiro here in our first segment of War in Ukraine, Part 2. This one is titled Pastors and Churches. Let's listen to this video from YouTube and consider the question, what are Christian ministers saying about the situation in Ukraine? We'll hear from a pastor in the United States who has loved ones taking shelter in bunkers. This is video one, Chaz. Ukrainian American pastor's family hiding in Ukrainian bomb shelter from Fox News. Came out on March 5th of this year. Listen to Pastor Andrew Moroz in this interview. I'll be back in a few moments.
More incredible sights and sounds coming out of Ukraine tonight. Families huddled together in bomb shelters, singing and praying for peace and safety. Andrew Morose pastors Gospel Community Church in Lynchburg, Virginia. He was born in Ukraine, and tonight we're hearing some of his family members have made it safely into Poland. Others, though, stuck sheltering in place. He joins us live. Pastor, great to have you with us.
Thank you so much. This is a very emotional time for us, and I'm so grateful for the opportunity to advocate and to share the story of what's going on with my friends and my family.
I want to ask you about this. The Wall Street Journal, Minnie Bells, who has been a fantastic reporter across the globe on issues of religious freedom and persecution, writes this. She says, Protestant churches have proliferated by the hundreds since Ukraine gained its independence from the Soviet Union in 91. In recent years, however, Moscow operatives have steadily increased their harassment and intimidation tactics against these congregations. Tell us what your experience has been on that front with the churches and partners that you know there and how they are doing now.
Yeah, so we've absolutely seen the church in Ukraine flourish after its independence from the Soviet Union. And Ukraine has kind of become a base camp for operations into other former Soviet countries. Oftentimes, nonprofit groups or church groups will start in Ukraine and then go and extend their efforts. And so one of the fears with this encroachment of the Russian military is that we're going to go back in time and we're going to experience the oppression that my family experienced, that my mom experienced when she was growing up in the Soviet Union. And so right now what we're seeing is Ukrainians are putting their faith into practice. And it really is beautiful. It's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking to see the way that they have to operate right now. But we're also seeing them encourage one another. We're seeing them come alongside of their neighbors and friends and show love and really show the deepest expressions of their faith.
Mm-hmm. I want to put up a map that shows we're well over a million people who have fled now into neighboring countries. There is a refugee crisis that's estimated could hit 2 million not too long from now. Is there anything you could tell us about, you know, people to partner with to help there? I know World Vision and Samaritan's Purse and many other reliable groups that have shown up in many disasters are trying to help out local partners and local churches there on the ground as best they can.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was just speaking to a friend this morning who is in Poland. He works for a camp called Word of Life, and they've opened up their whole property in order to help take in refugees. They're converting spaces that are unfinished. They're putting mattresses down on the ground. So there's opportunities through Word of Life and Samaritan's Purse and World Vision and other nationally known organizations. And it's one of the ways that we can be involved right now.
And you as a pastor counsel people all the time. I've got to imagine this is difficult for you personally, for people that you love, for your family. But you sent us a verse tonight that you wanted to mention. Tell us about that verse and just kind of your words of wisdom at this hour.
Yeah, so my job as a pastor is to help point people to truth and to scripture and to God and his intention and desires for us. And the verse that I had on my mind was Romans chapter 12, verse 21, which is very simple, but very powerful. It says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And you have to understand that the context of this verse was written to a group of first century Christians that were isolated and who were persecuted, who were going through a very challenging time. They were isolated from Jews. They were persecuted by the Romans, and they had every reason to give up, every reason to be overwhelmed. But instead, what they got to experience was overwhelming, resilient hope. Mm-hmm. And they had hope because of their faith in Jesus Christ, because their hope was rooted in something that was outside of them and outside of their circumstances and in this glorious future that God has prepared for his people. And so by God's grace, we can overcome evil with good. We can do that by joining the Ukrainian people in their struggle. We can practice good by supporting the Ukrainian government. We can practice good by investing ourselves into these refugee causes right now. And we can practice good by preparing to help rebuild the Ukrainian nation.
Yeah, so much work to be done there, and always a blessing for the church to have a chance to step in. We continue our prayers for them, as we know you do tonight, too. Pastor, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Hey, Sean.
That's a Fox News special on the war in Ukraine. This is part two of the Good Life special, War in Ukraine. This one on pastors and churches. Part one was on a president, his people, and the International Legion. But today we talk about perspectives that pastors give to us from different vantage points. You know, prayer was mentioned. There's an article in Evangelical Focus Europe, and it's titled, Christians in Ukraine in the Face of Invasion, quote unquote, prayer is our weapon. Evangelicals in Kiev call to trust in God and defend the country. Churches are offering shelter to refugees. Christian leaders in Moscow express their opposition to war. Quote, fear paralysis, prayer, trust in God, caring for your neighbor gives strength. Let me say that again. Fear paralyzes. I misread that earlier. Fear paralyzes. Prayer, trust in God, caring for your neighbor gives strength. You heard earlier that Ukraine has a unique position in Europe as a base, having come out of the Soviet Union. And of course, we know and we'll talk a bit about the Orthodox tradition that exists there of believers in Jesus Christ. There are also evangelical Christians who are there. Ukraine, an outpost of where many ministries and organizations have been able to expand. Is that under threat? Is that under threat even as we consider the economic, political, social impact? How ought we to see this from a spiritual perspective? Ought this not to motivate us to pray for Ukraine in this very hour? Prayer is our weapon. When we come back from our break, we'll talk a little bit more about churches and pastors. We're going to see a video of pastors, listen to a video of pastors who remain in Ukraine, opening churches to those fleeing war. I want you to stay with us. Why, you ask, Danny, why are we focusing on Ukraine? What happened to the talk show format that we normally have? Well, we still have that, and we will continue to do so. But there are certain times when the situation arises in our world, in our nation. We need to address what is happening and engage the conversation. And that's what we're doing here together with you. Stay with us. We'll be back with more.
Aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kayani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arunaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
The Good Life with Danny.tv. That's how you can get this podcast. Go ahead and share it with a family member or friend. We're talking about the war in Ukraine. Today is part two of that series. Today we're looking at pastors, thinking about pastors and their churches. What are the implications of their experiences there on the ground in Ukraine, or pastors who have family members and friends who are there living in Ukraine during this time? We'll talk a little bit more about Russia and Ukraine and the relationship among Christians in both places. But we come at this time to a video called Pastors Stay in Ukraine, Opening Churches to Those Fleeing War. We're going to listen to this video in two parts, our segment two, this segment, and then segment three, our next segment. It comes to us from 100 Huntley Street, and Cheryl Weber hosts 100 Huntley Street on this report from Chaz Martz. Listen as we consider the question, are there reasons beyond political and economic that we ought to think about spiritually? Think about that as we listen to this.
Now is Chad Martz, one of our partners on the ground right now in Ukraine, who's working with a network of churches and individuals who are helping those desperately fleeing the conflict in their nation. Chad, thanks so much for just taking a few minutes to join us today. I know you've been working day and night to help people who are fleeing bombs and fighting.
Yeah, that's correct. But thank you for having me on.
What are you hearing from people as I know that you're so busy with the logistics side of trying to get aid to people, but what are you hearing right now on the ground?
Well, on the ground, because of the amount of refugees that we're having come through, and just discussing and talking with them, in preparation for their arrival, it's desperation for those who can actually get out. Some are trapped within the communities that they live in because they're surrounded, and military is everywhere. So some people can't get out. For those who are able to get out, have multiple amount of logistical issues to getting to the west side of the country because it's military law and the numerous checkpoints and amount of people that are going. It's taking 3, 4, sometimes 5 days. And when you're dealing with a fuel shortage and food shortage, it's making it very difficult for people to make that decision. In addition to that, too, it's people have to decide what they're going to do because there's general conscription, and we have been hearing that at some of the checkpoints for those who are of age between 18 to 60 have been required to go into fight and defend. So people are left with a really, really complicated decision just to make it out this way.
Right, because some of those fathers know that they're going to fight, but they want to get their kids and their wives over the borders first, obviously, before they join. And so I can understand how complicated that is. And, we're so passionate about partnering with you and others. You work with a network of churches across the country who are helping. Tell me what you're doing.
Yeah, so we're positioned very well within the country. In our area, there has been no attacks, and so we're close to multiple EU countries. So when people are fleeing, a lot of them are coming through where we're located. Quickly, we needed to react to the situation and partnered with some Baptist churches here. You know, as of this morning, it was 10 Baptist churches that that we partnered with that will, on average, be providing for, you know, 100 refugees in each of those places. But the church doesn't have the resources to, you know, to care for them. So what we're doing is we're making sure that we're getting enough beds, food, clean water, access to medical care, all the things that are required to house and house that many people. So in amongst that, it's also networking with a lot of people in their home. So for an example, there's one home that has, you know, 28 people living in it. And so that's a huge undertaking for people who are used to living day by day here. How do you provide for them? And so that's what we're doing is networking and within the community that I am in to be able to get access to enough food and resources to be able to provide for people who are coming out this way.
Yeah, and I know one of the big challenges that everyone's facing, and I know it's affecting you, is supply chain challenges, that people are running out of food. And it's not just a matter of like, oh, I can't get out to the store to get food. You get to the store and there's very little there. So how are you overcoming and facing those supply chain challenges?
Yeah, there's a lot of different ways that we're having to adjust all the time. So one way is even form of payment. A lot of stores have closed and there are a few that remain open. And for those that remain open that have different forms of payment, whether it's cash or by card. And so we're trying to find places that can use and still use a credit card before they no longer will be able to. And so we're just talking with the managers at the different stores to find out where the supply lines are coming from, to see if they'll have additional ones coming to, going to wholesalers, getting as much as we can. But that's for the short term. We have to do this now. We're gathering it now, but we have to expand this so much more. So even just before this interview, our logistics person came in and it was like, we need to get some food out to another area because they don't have the same resources as what we do currently here. And so we're working with the short term to purchase everything that we need to. And then in the same breath, we're preparing to open up supply lines from European Union countries before we are unable to continue to purchase the things that we need to provide for people.
I'm so thankful for what you're doing. I know a lot of people watching right now are just, you know, you could have left. You have Canadian citizenship. You've chosen to stay. You've chosen to help. And you're one of many. So many people have chosen to stay there despite the risks to your lives. You have a brother-in-law that just came back from safety in Germany to help with this effort.
That's a video from 100 Huntley Street, a Canadian broadcast. And you're listening to Chad Martz, who's being interviewed by Cheryl Weber. He lives there in Ukraine. You know, doesn't it strike you? Well, it certainly does me when I think about things on the ground, of how supplies need to come through, what they need to do to be able to meet the needs in the midst of so much uncertainty. Forms of payment. These things are not guaranteed. Those of us who live in America have the conveniences that we take for granted, but not in a time of war, not in a place being bombed like Ukraine. And to think about families that are leaving, actually have to say goodbye because of general conscription, where wives, children, abruptly have to say goodbye to their fathers who need to go back and fight. They just can't get out. Every person is needed to be involved in this fight against the attack from Russia. Now, we've got some serious ideological clashes that go on here, and time does not allow us to go into so much detail about Ukraine and the democracy that has grown there after the fall of the Soviet Union in 1991. But here we are today, years later, and as we heard earlier, there are dangers of reversion, of going back. There are already evidences of that taking place. And if they do continue, even graver consequences, not only for Ukraine, but on the global scene. You're listening to the Good Life radio program. Danny Yamashiro here. You can get this podcast for you to listen to, enjoy, pass on, share, use it as a way to reach others with the love of Christ. Go to thegoodlifewithdanny.tv. It's available for you as a podcast for free. When we come back from our break, we'll talk and listen to, we'll talk more. I'll talk more with you. We'll engage a little bit more. In a broader scale, we're engaging in the conversation of society, and we certainly want to take part in that, contribute to that. We're going to do part B of the video that you have listened to, just listened to. We'll go even further in that when we think about Ukrainians risking their lives to stay and help. Then we'll talk a little bit about how Russian and Ukrainian Christians are responding. I was recently at a convention and spoke with someone who is doing work there. A ministry that does extensive work in both Russia and Ukraine. The Russian Christians and the Ukrainian Christians are not against each other. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Yamashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Yamashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Welcome back to our show. We are today in part two of a series called War in Ukraine. This one titled Pastors and Churches, Part One, A President, His People, and the International Legion. You can get both of these at thegoodlifewithdanny.tv, available for you. In this segment, we're going to go back and listen to the remaining portion of the previous video that we were hearing, pastors stay in Ukraine, opening churches to those fleeing war. It's from 100 Huntley Street. Listen in. I'll come back and speak a little bit more about Ukrainians risking lives to stay and help, and how Russian and Ukrainian Christians are responding. I'll be back with more.
This effort. Talk to me about just the passionate people of faith who are so concerned with helping others that they are risking so much.
Yeah, there's a lot of people here who have the opportunity to leave, and that's dealing with a lot of emotions too, because you don't know who's leaving and who's going. But as we're working on developing and putting the Ukrainian side team here, I am just completely amazed by the opportunity that they have to share the love of Jesus Christ in the most practical way in which we can. For myself, I can't, and for others, I can't necessarily be that effective in a military role. But I've been doing this job for 18 years. My wife's been doing this job, who is Ukrainian and is from this area, and been working in the east side of the country, you know, for 18 years. So we've been equipped. We have expertise. We have a support team that's around us that we need to continue to grow. And so for the thought of leaving, like how do we do that when God has so evidently placed us here for a time like this?
Yeah, I couldn't have said it better myself. You are here for such a time like this. We want to help. We're going to give you information in just a moment. I know that just in the last few days, you helped an entire orphanage, their staff and their families, leave the East right in the middle of that fighting. Tell me about how perilous it was to get them out.
Oh, my goodness. So we can't do anything to necessarily get them out. Everybody is on their own to find their way to make it over to the west side of the country. So we were actually in communication with them today. And so just getting a little bit more detail, because we didn't even know ourselves, because we've been working so hard. So as soon as they were safe, we just continued to provide for more people. But there ended up being like 14 cars, a caravan. And one of the really interesting things is that they never knew when the war was going to break out, just like everybody else. And so the night before, they felt the prompting that they need to fill up their vehicles with gas. 14 cars, that they filled them all up with gas. And by the next day, the bomb started to fall. And so they contacted us saying they're on their way. And we lost contact with them for a few hours. They were eventually able to make it through the area that was controlled by Russian forces, and began the long trek over to the west side of the country. That's 116 people. It was 52 orphans, the staff, their families, and additional people that were along, I guess, this caravan, as you would say. 3 days to make it all the way here. One day they just had to stop at nighttime in a village and sleep. But you have, you know, young kids all the way to teenagers and older that they're providing for. Where do you provide all the food for? Make sure they have enough gas. So they finally arrived, and we networked with another mission organization that was able to provide 50 beds and all the food and supplies for them. They're supported by a ministry in Norway, and we networked with a camp that is hosting the remainder. And so they're doing well. They're grateful. The community is rallying around them. Even some of the kids arrived sick, and the community members made sure that the doctors came by and checked out the kids to make sure they're okay. We provided a bus full of all the supplies that they needed to sustain them for their this time, so that they're taken care of. So we're just, yeah, we praise God that they were able to, you know, to make it.
The work that you're doing is so important. We are so thankful for you and everybody working with you who is helping people get out. You're one of many partners that we have that are working with churches across Ukraine. Listen, we don't know how long these avenues for supply routes are going to be open. The situation is changing by the hour. We need people to get on board and to give right now to help people like Chad. They are risking their lives to do this work. And I feel like the least we could do is, number one, pray. Number two, let's get them the resources they need while they can still use it. Chad, thank you so much for all you're doing. And we just pray that you stay safe and that you continue to be able to do this work as long as possible.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You're listening to the Good Life radio program. That video that we listened to was called Pastor Stay in Ukraine. It came on from 100 Huntley Street. And we heard about the reasons to stay. There's a part when we look at the book of Esther, for example, that she realized that she was there in that position as the queen of Persia for such a time as that. And this man here, Chad Martz, he and his wife believe and know, well, how could we leave? Because God has placed us here for such a time as this. Yes, this for them is to remain in Ukraine and to help the people as they have been helping. Some may ask, Danny, how is it going among Christians, not only in Ukraine, but Christians in Russia? Christianity Today came out with this article on March 14 of this year by Jason Casper. It's titled, Russian Evangelical Leader Apologizes to Ukrainian Christians. A carefully worded statement expresses solidarity with fellow believers and bitterness and regret over Russian military invasion. It goes on, it says, in the highest profile statement yet of its kind, the leader of the Russian Evangelical Alliance has announced his bitterness and regret over decisions taken by his government. Will it be enough to rebuild bridges with fellow Ukrainian believers across the border? I mourn what my country has done in its recent military invasion of another sovereign country, Ukraine, stated REA General Secretary Vitaly Vlasenko in a March 12th open letter. In the worst case scenario, I could not imagine what is now being observed. Now, his language is precise, but also careful. On March 4, the Russian parliament amended its criminal code to impose prison terms for up to 15 years for spreading quote-unquote fake news that quote-unquote discredits the military. Notably, Vlasenko did not use the Russian government's designated label of quote-unquote special military operation to describe the violence in Ukraine, utilizing quote-unquote conflict and quote-unquote invasion. Instead, he avoided describing it, though he did imply with terms that have been officially banned, such as quote-unquote war. And alongside recognition of Ukraine's fear of quote-unquote occupation, he cited Russia's goal of quote-unquote demilitarization. 2 days earlier, a Russian court fined, get this now, an Orthodox priest 35,000 rubles or $261 for discrediting the army during his Sunday sermon. His congregation helped pay the fine. Everything I could do to prevent war, I did, Vlasenko lamented. I apologize to all those who have suffered. A glimpse of the state of the church in Ukraine and Russia. These are days that one would find difficult to imagine from a distance, from the West, from America, from a safe place like we are in today. When you think about people being displaced, a question does emerge: how ought we to treat these who come to other countries for safety, for help, to rebuild their lives in times of uncertainty, in times of fear? Leviticus 19:33-34 says, when a stranger sojourns with you in your land, you shall do him no wrong. You shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself. for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. What did Jesus say? Matthew 25, verse 35. I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. When we come back from our break in our final segment, we'll watch another video, this one rather short, of a Ukrainian pastor expressing concerns following the Russian invasion. You'll hear it in the Ukrainian language. It'll be interpreted for us, translated. All this to cross over, as it were, to get a glimpse of what it's like, as best we can, as best we can. Try to get our feet in the shoes of those who are experiencing this war in Ukraine. Now, of course, you heard me mention about how unique a position Ukraine is in from a spiritual perspective, from a gospel-centered perspective. And yet right now it's getting bombed. So pray for Ukraine. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kayani Team Aloha, has seen Kayani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kayani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kayani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kayani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and Orthopedic Surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Welcome back to our show. I want so much to pass on, and I'm going to be doing that in programs like these, good information for you to help process from a biblical perspective what is happening in a time of war like the war in Ukraine. This is part two of the series. It's called Pastors and Churches, and we're looking and listening to and getting a glimpse of where pastors and churches are at as they are on the ground there in Ukraine. Part of the reason having a program like this is to keep our finger on the pulse of society. Christianity, our faith, has to continue to engage with where people are at. When we think about evangelistic opportunities, we cannot put our head in the sand when people around us are going through things in their lives and we not be able to engage with them, to help them, to be aware of what they are going through. And even, my friend, be able to discuss things, have a perspective on what is being said, contribute to the conversation. And I think we'll be surprised at how the Spirit uses our willingness to engage on the global and national scene at times like these in a way that will be redemptive and can honor the Lord Jesus Christ, even building a bridge for the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who loved us so much. He died on the cross for our sins. He was buried and he rose again on the third day. That glorious message of hope and redemption through Jesus Christ. And this is our final segment today. We're going to listen to a video from ABC 10, Ukrainian pastors express concerns following the Russian invasion. I'll be back after this as we consider how unique is the position of Ukraine for the spread of the gospel throughout Europe. And I'll have some more resources to share with you when we come back. So listen, open your heart, and engage.
Ukrainians deal with the fear and terror brought on by the invasion. A local church is preparing to step up and help. ABC 10's Jay Kim reports.
After another night of attacks in Ukraine, many are desperately looking to escape the country and seek refuge. Now Spring of Life Church in Orangevale is preparing to welcome Ukrainian refugees.
Senior pastor Vadim Dushkevich says they're preparing to take in several Ukrainian immigrants in the next few weeks. He says they're just looking to escape war and live a normal life.
We care about the Ukraine, the people living in Ukraine, because of the open door of this country for the immigrants and the people that need help. That's why it's a big dream for everybody else to get to America.
Pastor Sergei Pochapsky was in Ukraine just 2 weeks ago. Pochapsky says he knew a Russian invasion was likely coming, but never expected tensions to escalate this far. He spoke to ABC 10 through his translator.
Сьогодні багато людей тікають з України.
Many people are fleeing Ukraine. They're saving their families and their children. More than 70 countries condemned this situation, and the United States also.
Pochapsky has three brothers who are also pastors and nine nephews living in Ukraine. He's been in contact with them every hour and says some of them are fleeing to Poland while others are going to the countryside of Ukraine.
I'm worried a lot.
Very, 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 yeah.
We are grateful to Poland and Romania that they are accepting our people.
Fedor Gerasimov has five biological kids and over 30 foster kids in Ukraine. He says he can only sleep for a couple of hours each night and can't stop worrying about their safety. Gerasimov also spoke to ABC 10 through his translator.
Kids are scared. It's really hard to explain kids when it's gonna end and what to do. Because we as an adults, we don't know what to do.
He says most of the stores and pharmacies are closed and says it's hard to access basic necessities.
We would really appreciate if American government and American people can gather and do their best to make it happen and stop the war and help Ukrainian people in their hard times right now.
Tomorrow at 5 p.m., multiple Ukrainian churches in Sacramento will be at the west steps of the Capitol for an event called United in Prayer for Peace in Ukraine. All are welcome to attend.
United in Prayer for Peace of Ukraine. Wartime prayers. Have you thought of that? The wartime prayers of Ukraine's evangelicals. Again, Christianity Today, Jason Casper, March 11 of this year. Local Christian leaders invite readers to share in their ministries, Bible meditations, and personal struggles amid Russia's invasion. Listen, now the Ukrainian church needs support, but so do the individuals who shepherd the body of Christ. This article goes on to say, often they are lost behind the headlines and statistics of war. Even their quotes fail to convey the full depth of their struggle. So here we have Christianity Today asked Ukrainian evangelical leaders to help readers enter their war-torn world by sharing a glimpse of it. Each provided a Bible verse that has proven meaningful for perseverance, prayer requests for both concrete personal needs and more profound spiritual longings, and a referral to how readers can get involved. So here's Taras Diatlik, Engagement Director for Eastern Europe and Central Asia for Scholar Leaders International. This is what Taras Diatlik says. Currently supporting a network of Ukrainian seminaries, Diatlik has identified three stages of need. The immediate need is to evacuate, relocate, and find safe locations to save the lives of students, staff, and faculty. In another week or so, their situation must become stabilized in longer-term accommodations. And then, pending the developments of war, they will figure out how to continue theological education. To think about studying, to think about engaging in coursework and being and experiencing interference like this. The Bible verse helping him persevere, Mark 14, 27 and 28. I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. Sometimes we find ourselves with Jesus, not because we followed him, but because he comes to us, as now in our brutal war with Russia. And he asks us as he asked Peter at the Sea of Galilee, do you love me? In John 21. Still, this comes after breakfast when he is taking care of us first. Even when we fail in the challenges of this war, his friendship is available for us to revive in. What is Diatlik, Taras Diatlik, praying for? He says, I'm praying for my wife and many other wives who refused to be evacuated while their husbands stayed behind. But I'm also praying that this war will shake the conscience of humanity and the theology of the church. No longer can we evaluate a nationalism that often requires others to be brought low, as we see so many Christians adopting now in Russia. Taras Diatlik. I'm reading from the Wartime Prayers of Ukraine's Evangelicals, a piece put together by Jason Casper for Christianity Today. We have a little bit more time. Let me go on and share a bit more. Again, this is just a point of engagement for us as we consider. Then after a little while, I'll close in prayer. But here's one more from Alexander Gishenko, president of Odessa Theological Seminary. It's a United World Mission, has been a decades-long partner of OTS, located on Ukraine's western Black Sea shore. As his fellow seminary heads into other cities, other cities have turned their campuses into places of refuge. Gashenko has been trying to evacuate the school staff and students and provide for them as best he can. Here's his Bible verse, 1 Corinthians 12, 26 through 27. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Here's what he's praying. I'm praying through the rage of an almost tangible pain, Alexander says. Instead of my seminary routine, I am an emergency volunteer. Our lives have been smashed, our souls have been burnt, and there is no end in sight. For the wholeness of our country to be restored, we need God to give spiritual insight and moral clarity to the world. Then this storm can turn against the aggressors and disperse. Here's my prayer as we close today. Lord, you know Alexander Gishenko, you know Taras Dyatlik, and others who have shared from their heart at the gut level of their needs. And we pray that you would indeed intervene. And indeed, Lord, that you would intervene in each life, each dear one who's listening today, that they will feel your presence in a new and fresh way, as only you can. For we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. My friend, war in Ukraine. Keep Ukraine in prayer. Keep your neighbor in prayer. Lift up your heart in worship and praise to God. Until next time, visit thegoodlifewithdanny.tv. Look, God's timing is perfect. And there's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus with someone near you. And hey, as I typically say, if you haven't done so, I believe this could be the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. I've got a gospel presentation clearly set up for you there at thegoodlifewithdanny.tv. If you'd like to stand with us with your prayers or your financial support to make a donation, go to thegoodlifewithdanny.tv and click donate. And I thank you in advance. Esther 4:14, and who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. It's always a blessing to be with you. TheGoodLifeWithDanny.tv. Go ahead and visit there. Until next time, along with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai, and web designer, Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Live your life daily where awareness of society and Christianity intersect.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you with The Good Life.